We're going to be looking tonight at the number one selling book in the world. Number one selling book in the world. Not in America, not among Christians, not among religious people, but the number one selling book in the world. This Bible. Why is it such? Because it contains the number one most important message in the world. And what is that message? Well, it's found in the number one most familiar passage in the world. You'll see it at football games, JN.3:16. The other day, President Trump was speaking at something, and here's some little guy standing behind him holding up this sign that says JN.3:16, John 3:16. It's the number one message in the world because it tells us that God loves you. God loves you. This is not just some idle. We'll look at idols a little later in the week, but where we come from, there's lots of idols. 11% of the greater New Orleans population would say that they are voodoo practitioners. A lot of black magic involved. And you can go down to the St. Louis Cathedral on Jackson Square in New Orleans, in the French Quarter. And in the St. Louis Cathedral, there's a little shop where you can buy every idol you could ever imagine. You can buy little ones that don't cost you much, or you can buy solid silver ones that cost you a great deal. They probably have solid gold ones. We don't move in those circles, so I don't ever check them out. But and you take them home and you hang them on a wall, or you put them on a shelf, and people pray to them and believe that they protect them against all kinds of different things. There's different idols for different purposes, you know. And but my Bible tells me that the one who really answers prayer, the one who really is interested in your life and mine, the one who is really involved in your life and mine, is the one who made us. And, you know, it's like the moms. Where did our mom go with all the tribe there? She escaped? She's gone. We would say gone, pecan. Well, anyway, there's other mothers left here. Your little child comes home with something that they've drawn from school. And they're in the nursery school class, and it's this paper with this fine set of squiggly lines that run most every direction and place and different colors, and you don't have a clue what it's a drawing of, but you take the little picture and you say, wow, what a great picture. What is it, honey? What's it a drawing of? Well, it's a drawing of you, Mommy. Oh, I'm so thrilled. It looks just like me. And so you hang it on the refrigerator. Where's the lady whose refrigerator doesn't stick? She got a refrigerator. They don't always stick. It's a devil's plot. I'm pretty sure. We'll talk later. Can you imagine making a refrigerator that you can't put magnets on so you can't hang your kids' little pictures on it? could be a law, you know? Well, anyway, she traded it. You have one where it sticks now, right, or not? No. Pray for her. Well, anyway, most of us will take and stick those pictures on our refrigerator and brag about them when friends come over. And they'll say, I can tell it looks like you. I mean, it's got your eyes. Right? Why is it so special? Because it's from your little kiddo, right? You made that kiddo, right? They're special. It's not just... I'm an adopted. How many were down for my testimony the other night? Oh, quite a few. How many listened to it? Ah, pretty good, pretty good. Well, then you know I'm adopted. So, and I won't spend a lot of time digressing into it, but when we get into the topic of abortion, I can really digress, you know. If I was born some years later, I'd have probably just been a little blob of flesh in a bucket. It's really a sadness, you know. I can weep over that. One of the people running for president in the next election said, really, a woman who is pregnant, that thing in her is really no more than just a tumor. You can just cut it out and throw it away. It could be the man or woman who was going to discover the cure to cancer, or the man or woman that was going to bring peace to the world, or, you know, you fill in the blank. 15, somebody can correct me on the numbers. I think it's 1,500 a day now that are murdered, right? And that's all it is. It's just the murder of a baby. You know, in this country, every living being has the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? That unborn child has a right to life. Right? That's why the issue today is an unborn child a person? Because if they're a person, then they have the same rights under the Constitution that you and I do. But if we can declare them not a person till they're born, we can just kill them. That little guy that drew that picture of you is, you made it. Isn't that a miracle? I mean, you take a daddy and a mommy, and it's like magic. Here's this baby. Most of the time, the parents figure out where it came from, but the thing I like about babies, a brand new little baby, you look the next time, you'll see it too. The part I like about them, I like everything about a little baby. I don't like to hold them because they scare me, but I like the little wrinkles in their knuckles. You look at their little hands, they got all the right little wrinkles. Isn't that true, huh? Girls like babies. They got all the right little wrinkles in their knuckles. I think that's amazing. And then the little fingernails. I mean, how can this happen? Two cells come together, and here you have this beautiful little baby. How many of you would give up one of those children to save my life? Right? Not a one. Not a one. Shows you what they think of me. But God loved you so much, He gave His Son to die so you could live. That's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. That passage here in John chapter 3, verse 16, Is everybody there? John 3:16? For God so loved the world. It doesn't just say that God loved the world. It says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever... Now, if you have your red pencil, I know most of you ran into it's a town. Huh? Yeah, they wouldn't have it there. Would they? Jeff City. I know all of you after the meeting this morning ran in and bought colored pencils and Pigma Microns, and if you didn't have a good India Ink Bible, you probably bought one or two of those. But if you did, here's words that you should circle. God loved. And whosoever and have. There's two people and there's two actions there. Somebody's ringing. Hello? Who's that? I'm homing in. Somebody calling from home saying, turn the speaker on so I can listen too. There's two people and there's two actions. We got two teachers back here, maybe more. We got some homeschool teachers. What do you call action words? Verbs. The teachers never answered that. The students did, right? Yeah. One of them is pronouns, it's people, and the other one is what they did. God loved, and whosoever will have. That's the gospel in four letters, four words. Except it goes beyond that, because it doesn't just say God loved, it says God so loved. That's the degree of his love for you. I think this morning, I use this expression a lot. Noah is coming with his ark. Fantastic. Great ark. Has it got animals in it? Got animals in it? It's really cute. There's a boy child. You can't expect the same things out of little boy childs that you can out of little girl childs. I don't know what that is, but anyway. It's a hard life for us boys. He so loved you. And the word that whosoever, that's an important word because it means everybody, right? There's nobody that's left out of whosoever. That includes you, it includes me, it includes the bum on Skid Row that smells so bad you can't hardly even sit next to them. It includes the guy on Knob Hill that's got so much money he won't let you through his gate. It doesn't leave anybody out. And those whosoever's can have everlasting life. That's life that goes on from the moment you accept it for all eternity. Everlasting life starts the moment you accept God's offer. It's not pie in the sky by and by. It's available for you right now, right this instant. I'm going to give away. I've got a $20 bill here. It's kind of crisp. It's fairly new. I stole it from the canteen. Not. I did pirate it from my wife. It's a pretty fresh, nice, crisp $20 bill. How many would like to have this $20 bill? Why is it only kids that raise their hands? You rich people out there? Huh? God bless you. Nose explosion. Okay, so let me see those hands again. How many would like to have this $20? Okay, I'm going to do a little something to it first. Okay, put your hands down. I'm going to do a little something to it. Bless you. How many do you usually do? That's it. Okay. My wife does 3. I do 2. You don't want to break tradition. Did you pinch that baby? You promise? She'll be okay. Love her up a little bit. Bring her back. Okay. How many want this $20 bill now? More want it now than before. I've been baptized, he said. Okay, well, just a second. Gum on my shoe. How many still want this? I'll take a vacation. My friends, we've learned a valuable lesson here today. No matter what I did to this money, you still wanted it because it didn't decrease in value. It's a boy child. See, now if I said, take that kid out of here, she'd be offended. You see, no matter what I did to this money, it retained its same value. You still wanted it because it didn't decrease in value, because the value of this bill was placed on it by its manufacturer, right? It was worth $20 when it came out of the mint, and nothing that you do to it, nothing you say about it, or any of those things, will make a difference because its value was set by its creator. Many times in our lives, we're dropped and crumpled and ground into the dirt by the decisions we make and the circumstances that surround us. We feel as though we're worthless. But no matter what has happened or what will happen, you will never lose your value. Dirty or clean, crumpled or finely creased, you are still priceless to the one who created you. When I was a little boy in the orphanage, Alice and Roy Brown came from Minneapolis across the river to St. Paul, Minnesota, and paid $55.50 for me, took me home, adopted me, made me their child. I became an heir of the Brown non-fortune. When I was 32 years old, 30 years later, I found that God's Son, Jesus Christ, came across the river of time and sought me out and paid a much higher price than $55.50 for me. He paid his life for me and made me God's child. One day, he'll take me home to heaven to live in the mansion that he's got prepared for me. This passage in John chapter 3 speaks of me. God so loved an orphan kid, Leonard Allen Bowe, also known as Leonard Allen Stenstrom, so much that he gave the life of his son to make me his child and take me home to heaven. He paid the same price for you. And one day he's coming back. By the Bible program. And he's going to take you home to live with him in heaven. That's how much God loves you. That's your value to the God of the universe who designed you and created you. I don't care if you're perfect and beautiful and statuesque or whatever you want to call it, or if you're really crumpled and deformed and crippled and mentally challenged and everything else that you can have, you're that precious to God. A number of years ago, we had a couple in our meeting, and my favorite activity, they've moved since then, he was in the Navy too, and my favorite activity was that Joanne and I would go over to their house and have coffee. And you might think, well, why would that be such a special thing? Well, they had a little Down syndrome boy, and his favorite thing was for Mr. Bob to come over to their house so he could make him coffee. There's a lot of things he couldn't do, but he could make coffee. And so we would go over to their house for the specific purpose of having this little boy make my coffee. And we'd go over and drink a cup of coffee. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. If they'd let him go, which they wouldn't, I'd have adopted him. He was as precious as any child I've ever seen. And so are you. Girls. Are we paying attention? Not so much. Okay, up here. Okay. Look at Romans. Look at Romans 5. Where's the boss? Where is it? What time do we quit? I'm sorry.
8.
8:15? Okay, sliding rule. Thank you. Romans 8. I'm sorry, Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 8. We looked at this morning. But God commendeth his love toward us. In other words, he showed or demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't say, clean up your act and I'll save you. He'll save you just the way you are because he loves you. But he loves you too much to leave you that way. I'll guarantee you that he will change your life. You don't have to work at cleaning up your life. He will clean up your life. He'll take it all away, and you won't even miss it. How many adults here miss playing with rattles? There's always one or two. See, nobody gave up those rattles. You outgrew them, right? And it's the same with the things in our lives. Like my friend in the bar. He doesn't go to those bars anymore. He outgrew them. The Lord outgrew him. Neither one of us shoot pool anymore because you can't shoot. I haven't found a place you can shoot pool that doesn't also sell booze and people sitting around sucking on beers and shooting pool. So I just don't shoot pool anymore. Nothing wrong with shooting pool, but I don't want to be around that, right? While we were yet, verse 6, when we were yet without strength, you don't have the strength to clean up your act, right? Try to give up alcohol. If you're an alcoholic, try to give it up. If you're a drug addict, try to give it up. We call those life-dominating sins. Life-dominating sins. If you've got one of these things working, you're a homosexual or a transvestite. Talked to an elder one day, and we were talking about the topic of evangelism. And I said, what would you do if a transvestite showed up at the door of your chapel one day? He said, I'd tell him, just keep on going down the road. There's another church on the road. You just missed a prime candidate for the gospel. Why do you suppose a transvestite is a transvestite? Because there's something inside of him that's hugely missing, right? Why does a woman switch from guys to girls? Because there's something inside her that's just hugely missing. Why does a guy switch from girls to guys? Because there's something in him hugely missing. Why does a guy spend all of his money on booze or on drugs? Because there's something inside that's hugely missing. And you've got the answer to what's inside, right? You got the answer. The Lord Jesus is what's missing in that person. And I will guarantee you, because I've seen it happen, hundreds of times. When the Lord Jesus comes into that house, he'll say, stinks in here. Gotta clean this puppy up. And he'll start working. And that life-dominating sin will go away. I think we talked about this the other night. Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. Let's say it together. Without me, you can do nothing. One more time. Without me, you can do nothing. And on the other hand, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's say that one. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Give up alcohol? That's part of all things, right? Give up drugs? It's part of all things. Give up homosexuality, transvestitism, or whatever you want to call it. That's part of all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You've got the answer. You've got the answer. You're like the best doctor in the world. And you got the prescription for the disease that is running rampant in people's lives and in our society. And they don't have to clean up their act to do it. While they were yet sinners, Christ died for them. When they were without strength, Christ died for them. It's an interesting thing to watch when somebody on a life-dominating sin starts getting interested in Christian things. Watch their buddies come after them and try to drag them back to those old playmates and playpens. They will drag them back. Hey, we're having a great party tonight. You ought to come, man. Everybody's been missing you. What have you been hanging out with them Christian people for? Come on down. Have some fun tonight. Listen, it's going to be really great. It's going to be... And they'll fill in the blanks of all the things they think that you're a sucker for. Because they want to get you back. Because if you're doing it, it means they're not so bad off. But if you leave that lifestyle, then what's the matter with them? It's sin, right? Some sins are more acceptable to us than others. But they're all sins. Every liar will have his place in the lake of fire. Right? It's just as bad as homosexuality or drugs or alcohol or, right? And often the church does a lot of preaching about those sins, and half their pews are full of professing Christians who are hooking up on the weekends or are shacking up through the week, And my Bible says that such will not inherit the kingdom of God. So you want to hook up on the weekends? You want to shack up through the weeks? You're trading it for heaven. You're going to go to hell. That's tough, but that's God's law. And it's rampant even in the church today. So sometimes people think that Brown is a little frank, like an Oscar Mayer. You'll get it later. You'll get it later. But I think in the church we ought to be able to talk about these things, because this is important for Christians to understand what's going on in the world, so we can avoid those things and our kids can avoid those things. Because in the world, everybody is telling our kids, come on, do this. Everybody's doing it. It's not true. It's not true. Look at 1 Timothy 1. We'll finish with this. First Timothy 1 and verse 15. Paul writing to a young man, and he says to him, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. In other words, this is something that is of value, and it's worthy of people to accept it. That Christ Jesus came into the world. Why? To save sinners. And Paul says, of whom I'm chief. Of whom I'm chief. Of whom I'm chief. Of whom you're chief. I don't care if you're a believer who knows they're on their way to heaven, then you ought to appreciate the price that Christ paid for you and the new life that you have in him. And you ought to want to share that with other people around you. If you're living like them, they won't want to hear from you because you're just like they are, that you're no better than they are. But if your life is on track and their life isn't, it'll cause them to ask you for a reason, the Bible says, for the hope that lies within you. What makes you different? I've watched you, John or Sally or Jim or Susie. I've watched you. You used to go drinking and messing around with us, and now you don't do that anymore. What made the difference? And you can tell them about the Jewish man, the carpenter, came into your life and made a new creation out of you. All right. That's what happened to me. My buddy that we flew helicopters together, I asked him why he didn't drink anymore. He said, well, I met this man and he changed my life. Really? What kind of man is that? Well, he's a Jewish man. He's a carpenter by trade. And he reeled me in. And he changed my life. I think I told you about the couple that came across the valley to pick his kids up. Right? They'd come in his trailer. Him and his wife passed out in the back of their trailer, and they'd let themselves into the trailer, get the kids up out of bed, wash them up, dress them, feed them breakfast, and take them out to the little chapel on the hill across the valley. Through that, his kids got saved. Through his kids, he got saved. Through him, his wife got saved. Through them, we got saved. Through us, this other man got saved, and this chain went on and on. One Sunday, maybe 10 or 12 years later, we were up in Plumsteadville, Pennsylvania, where this our home church where we were saved is, and the fellow that led us to the Lord was leading the singing, and he said, now, we're going to have a little special announcement here today because it's a birthday time. And everybody thought, what in the world is this all about, you know? And he said, now we'd like this lady to stand up. And said, how many children do you have? Well, she doesn't have any children. And he said, well, I think you're mistaken in that. Would everybody who has come to Christ as a result of this couple please stand up? Congregation was full of people that had been saved through the generations, iterations of Christ, because two people thought it was worthwhile to take their car and drive across the valley to a trailer park where all these sailors lived and love them enough to bring them to Christ. It was really an amazing thing. She cried. We cried. It was birthday time for a lady who had no children of her own. They bought a big Buick. They were called Scenic Cruisers. It's a station wagon. It was a gigantic car. And it had glass down the sides of the top. And the back seat faced backwards, so you could scenic as you cruised. And he didn't get it for that. He bought it because it'd hold a ton of kids. You didn't have to have seat belts then. You could just wad them in there. You know? Stack them like cordwood would. They pulled up in front of the chapel one day, brand new Scenic Cruiser, polished. It was a beauty. He opens the back door. This little boy, like some of these, pops out of there like a jack-in-the-box, runs around, hops up on the bumper, hops up on the hood, does a dance on the hood, up the windshield, to the top of the car, dance on the top of the car. And somebody looks at the man and says, "Don't you want to get him down?" He said, "That's the way boys are, you know." He loved them to the Lord. They were much more important than his Scenic Cruiser. Father, bless your word tonight, we pray. Help us to really, 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 really appreciate our value to you, how much you love us, and how much you care. And no matter how crumpled or wrinkled or torn or disfigured we are, you love us just as much. And you've got a wonderful plan for our lives. And you work at protecting us from messing it up. Help us, Father, to stay close as we looked this morning that your Son is the light of the world. That we need to stay close to him so he can light our path and walk in the light. Father, bless, we pray, each person, each family that's come to camp. And these little guys that are kind of noisy and kind of disruptive and kind of difficult for moms sometimes. And Father, we pray for them. That's the future. These are the presidents and senators of the future, doctors and lawyers and Indian chiefs and all of those things. Father, bless them. Train them up under your word where they can come to find how much they're worth to you too. Father, bless, we pray. Thank you for each other. And for this week, in Jesus' name, amen.